You know what? If you all don't want to sign the hottest free agent in sports entertainment, that's fine. It's both of yours lost. You know that? There ain't no but Heath here. No, listen. I don't want to be disrespected no more. And you know what? I have to go home to my 7 kids now and tell them daddy doesn't have a job. Because you want to put me up on unbearable odds. You know what? That doesn't even matter. Because I can hold my head up high. Coming in here and telling both of you losers that I am out. And I would rather be on the suicide squad. You know why? Because I'm better than this. SmackDown Live doesn't deserve Heath Slater. I'm the hottest free agent here, man.
So I guess we're not gonna offer Heath Slater this contract.
Guess he's not signing this. 7 kids? I thought it was 2 kids.
7 kids, 2 kids. Who cares? Love me some Heath Slater right now. And welcome to episode 97 of the European Uppercut, getting very close to the big number 100. Right here on the Trending Topics Network. And of course, this is a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. On this obviously awesome episode, we've got news, we've got emails, and we're going to take a look back at the week of wrestling we've had. Some great things to talk about there. And we've got a returning quiz as well this week. Now, let's just find out who we've got on the panel first up. Hopefully, he's more indie and less windy. It's PK.
Evening, everyone.
Good to have you on. How are you?
Busy, tired, but happy to be on.
And I hope you put the World of Warcraft to rest.
Nearly. I'm nearly finishing this cutscene, then I will be turning it off.
Anyway, also with us, second man on the panel, bringing the kitch and a side helping of bitch, it's Kiwi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, how are you?
Very well. Great to be here and looking forward to talking some wrestling.
Absolutely, and there's plenty to talk about. Next up, this man is, well, actually, I'm not allowed to say yes. It could be construed as offensive to real comics. It's Adam Pearson.
You are such a dick.
And not even a really good looking one either on Naked Attraction. You remember on that Channel 4?
Woo! Wow, there's a reference. How are you, Adam?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Busy, but happy to be here. Let's talk some wrestling.
Absolutely. And we're going to go straight into things as we always do. We've got 3 emails in this week. And the first of them comes in the form of an MP3. But who is it coming from? Well, check this out.
Hello, European uppercutters. I'm not here this week because I'm a misogynistic bastard who refuses to appear on a radio show with a woman on the panel. No, I'm only kidding. I'm aware.
I'm going to pause that there just to say that we did have someone lined up for the panel this week who, unfortunately, at the last minute has had to pull out. More on that in a little bit. Let's continue what Kai.
This week, as I'm currently live on Siren FM, talking all about a man with tiny fingers and the real-life final deletion. But I couldn't resist sending you in a voice message to say how much I loved the CWC, the Cruiserweight Classic, last week, especially Jack Gallagher and the amazing match between Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. How great was this match? If they could have do that in 12 minutes, imagine what they could do in 20. I've heard about Gargano for years, but since he came to WWE, I've wondered if I'd be able to get behind him as a character. Well, I think last Wednesday they both proved to have a lot of potential in the storytelling department too. That was storytelling at its finest. I'll be popping back shortly to give you all the news for the week, and I hope you all have a great show. I'll see you later, guys.
So there's Kai's call for this week. He's chatting about, obviously, the Cruiserweight Classic, but we're going to get into that a bit more into the show. So I'm going to just focus in on one little element of Kai's call. I'm going to come to you first, PK. Are you behind Johnny Gargano? Has he got the legs to go all the way in the WWE?
Oh yeah, I've been a fan of Johnny Gargano for many, many years now. Even going back to when I used to do a podcast called The Indie Corner, and I used to talk about him all the time in the likes of Evolve and Dragon Gate USA and AIW, which I'm sure Heavy will appreciate the reference to AIW. But Yeah, I think he really has. He's proved, for people who doubted them, then him and Ciampa proved in that one match how good they really are. And I really can't wait to see how far he goes, especially now they have finished their indie dates completely and they're full-time NXT superstars. They can really get behind them.
You see that, but Ciampa's coming here next month and I'm so looking forward to it.
Gargano's finished up. I think Ciampa's still got a couple left. But I know they did a big farewell to him at AIW where he got his start as well.
Well, but actually, I think he's got a match. He's doing one last appearance for AIW the same night Ciampa's here, because Heavy's going to that and I'm going to this one. So it's quite interesting the timing of it. September the 23rd, that is.
Okay.
So a couple of wee dates, must have been added.
But yeah. I'm glad that WWE are letting him finish up those obligations as well, and the fact that he has proven how good and how entertaining they are by getting the hashtag glorious bomb over to ridiculous levels in the space of a couple of days, and that became a trending topic and a meme and got reported on like places like Uproxx and TMZ and stuff like that. So I think that shows how entertaining he can be, not just the fact that they're great wrestlers.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Kiwi, are you as up on Johnny Gargano as obviously PK and Kai are?
Well, to be honest, beforehand, not really, because I didn't know much about the guy. I'm not a big indie viewer like PK, Heavy is, etc. But to be honest with you, since the Cruiserweight Classic episode last week, he's gone right up my books, really. Both him and Tommaso Ciampa really showed how much of a story that they can show, with hardly any backstory, to be fair. It's just a general match in the Cruiserweight Classic, of course. But they put on a great story, a wonderful, well-told story, put so much effort into it. And I think Johnny Gargano, in particular, can go further in a WWE for many, many years, and maybe even reach the brass ring. Anything's possible, and he showed that anything is possible with him last week.
Adam, your thoughts?
I loved it. I've always liked Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa since they arrived in NXT. And because they know each other so well, they just have this instant chemistry that very few wrestlers have. And I've been loving the Cruiserweight Classic, like loving it.
It's funny because you basically did the crash course, as we know, live on the show last week. You literally bombed through it, and good to hear you are as up on it as we hoped you would be.
I did. I didn't know what to do this week, actually, because I kind of like having a gimmick. And because I'm all up to date on the CWC now, I can't watch it live while doing the show.
So what are you going to do? Have you got something else in mind?
Well, I have decided that, I don't have to be, I've got a meeting tomorrow afternoon, so I've got the morning off. So I figured I would get my good friend Captain Jägermeister, and then every time Kiwi makes an innuendo or double entendre, I will do some Jägermeister, and we'll see how the evening pans out for me.
Do we need to have a medic on standby?
I'll be fine. And for the kids listening who don't know what Jägermeister is, in Disney films, very often the princess will drink a potion, fall asleep, and then all the boys will start kissing her. That's what Jägermeister is.
So you're saying you're going to fall asleep and all the boys will start kissing you?
Oh, mate. If Kiwi had said that, I'd be drinking.
I was obviously just too quick on the draw there. Right, okay, so this is going to be an interesting thing. Kiwi, let's see how it goes as the show goes on. Are you feeling particularly innuendo-filled?
I do, but I feel like I've got to live up to my Adam's expectations now, so I must perform.
Damn it.
And thus it begins.
Wow, that burns.
Well, and also, when you asked PK just now, Ian, do you think Johnny Gargano has got the legs to go in WWE? He certainly has legs. And I must say, they are very excitingly primed. So, yes.
That's another one
It's gonna be a long night, Kiwi. Shit off.
I think he'll actually run out of Jägermeister before the innuendo stops.
Oh, dear. I have to say, it's been a while since I've done a lot of Jägermeister. I was first introduced to this stuff back in 1991 whilst in Munich. But anyway, that's another story for another day. Let's round off on Kai's email. His call, I should say. Kai, thanks for sending that in. We look forward to having you back on the show next week. Kai's going to be a little bit intermittent for the next while because of his coverage of the US election for Siren FM. He's probably going to be on fortnightly. We're trying to work all the details out, so hopefully that's exactly how it's going to work out. We'll know more hopefully by next week. So Kai, thanks for sending that in, and obviously we'll catch up on your news a little bit later in the show. Now let's go into our other two emails. And the first one comes to us from a guy by the name of Will Wild. Will Wild is a wrestler at the Fight Factory Wrestling. He's a heel by the looks of things. He goes by the moniker of the Generic Indie Wrestler. Recently had his head shaved a few months ago in a hair versus moustache match, that's not easy to say, with Edward Ripper. And try to read what Kai sent to me here to give him a bit of an idea who this guy is. Doesn't like people calling him baldy, and came straight over to Kai at the last event and asked him if he was going to moan about him on his podcast. So, Will, good to have you contributing to the show. Let's see what you've got to say. He just wants to know one very quick question. Who is your favourite wrestler and why is it? And I'm going to start with Kieran Kiwi. Who's your favourite wrestler and why?
In the WWE at the moment, this time, is Finn Balor. There is, mm-hmm. He just garners such a great reaction from the crowd, and also garners a great reaction from me in many different ways.
Ooh.
And Adam. And he's doing exactly what he's meant to be doing now, and his promo on Raw was incredible. I thought it was the best work, promo wise, I've seen from him in quite a while. So yes, Finn Balor is my favourite.
And would you say that's your favourite of all time or just at the moment?
Well, of all time, it would have to be Mick Foley. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the guy has just put on some incredible matches, can tell some amazing stories, emotional stories at the same time as some lunatic ones, you know, with Mankind and his early stuff with Cactus Jack in WCW. You know, really good matches there. So, Mick Foley is my all-time favourite, definitely.
Cool. Let's come to Adam, your favourite wrestler, and why?
At the moment, it's Kevin Owens, by a long way. Mm. Just in the ring, he's amazing. On the mic, he's amazing. Even when he's just yelling, kind of, that's not how you spell the word. S-O-F-T. He's so Kevin Owens, currently of all time, I'm a Chris Benoit guy.
Right, okay.
He had so many amazing matches that we're not allowed to talk about if we work for Vince McMahon.
Mm. But you don't work with Vince McMahon, so you've got free reign. Is that what you're telling me?
That is pretty much what I'm telling you, yes. Yeah, they called me and they went, "Hey Adam, funny story, Shelton's injured, can you kind of step in for a bit?" And I'm like, "No, that is Rob Schamberger's entrance music, damn it." And I will not take it from him.
Okay, fair enough, I understand that. I'm going to come to PK, your favourite wrestler and why?
At the moment, it's really tough to pick between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, but I will go for Owens because he's actually being utilised better currently and he's not done anything bad since he's been on the main roster. He's been amazing. All time, I'm going to have to go Mick Foley again. I can't agree with Kieran enough on that. He, one of my all-time favourites, always put on great matches. And he's just endlessly entertaining in his promos, in in the storylines he told inside and outside the ring. One of my favorite times ever in the WWE was when he had his initial run as commissioner and all the stuff he was doing with Edge and Christian.
Oh yeah,
absolutely brilliant. And it showed how good, like, if it took getting thrown off the top of a cell and then falling through a cell for him to be able to show that he could do comedy. But then when they actually let him show it, he did it brilliantly.
Fair enough. I'm trying to think who my favourite is at the moment, because I've got so many different guys that on any given day this question changes in terms of my answer, and even my all time. And it's the same if you ask me my favourite movie or my favourite album of all time. Every single day it's going to be a different answer. So right now, currently, if you were to ask me right now, my favourite wrestler at the moment is probably Kevin Owens. I just love what he's doing. He just invokes such a reaction of everybody. His reactions and responses, his timing, all of these different things add to what makes Kevin Owens brilliant in the ring. And all time, I'm going to say right now, if you ask me now, Shawn Michaels. Just love what he did over the years, and he come back after such a major back injury after so many, like 4 years, was such a surprise for me at the time. I was like, oh my God, I love it, love it, love it, give me more. So I have to rate Shawn Michaels on that one. So Will Wild, thanks for contributing to the show, thanks for sending your email, please send in more in the future. And just before we go on that, I've had a response from Kai. Will Wild, favourite wrestler? No, it even says on his shirt, generic indie wrestler. There's no way he's going to defeat Tommy Ryder and become the FFW Junior Heavyweight Champion. The only way is if he takes off that mask and lets the lights bounce off that bald head of his and into Tommy's eyes. Favourite wrestler? Not a chance. So, Will, you can take that up with Kai. That's Kai's words, not ours here at European Uppercut. Deal with him next time at Fight Factory Wrestling. That's on you. Okay, so one last email to go into. And this one is discussing the Austin Ambrose podcast. So I'm not sure if you guys have seen the show. I certainly watched it last night. And it goes like this. Hi, guys. So after watching this, I was left slightly confused. I'm not sure if Austin had a problem, was in stone cold mode, or just trying to prize answers out of Ambrose. I've read comments on forums saying Ambrose has come across unappreciative of his position. I don't agree with that. Personally, I compared it to Eminem interviews, where he seems very shy in interviews, but turns on his personality for shows. What did you guys think of it? Stan Lines. Now, I'm going to start on Adam on this. Have you watched this yet?
Yeah, I have. I watched it on the Tuesday morning.
What were your feelings then?
It was definitely the most awkward of the Stone Cold podcasts.
Yeah.
But I think it's always the interviewer who's in control.
Yeah,
and I think Austin pushed Ambrose on things that A, weren't relevant, and that B, he'd answered.
Right.
Kind of, so school was kind of hard for you, hey? No, not really. But you were from a single parent family, and your parents didn't love you. That must have been hard. Like, no. Like, so, yeah, Austin was just, I think he was a little bit in stone cold mode.
Yeah,
but those kind of interviews are tough, and particularly to do live or on a 5 second delay, I think it was on.
Yeah,
but I don't think Ambrose is unappreciative at all. I think there's definitely going to be an adjustment period of him going from being sort of in the middle of a roster wide company to heading up one of the brands, but he'll get there.
Okay, PK, your thoughts on the whole thing?
I have to agree on that. Like, I think a lot of the issues with the interview stem from Austin himself, for like trying to either not really listening to what Dean was saying properly and then answering redundant stuff. And Dean, I thought, was charming. He was likable. That's him. He's so laid back and he just kind of just goes with the flow. So trying to get any sort of aggression or dirty truth out of him in an interview, you're not going to get it, because that's just Dean Ambrose. But even he said that all the important stuff that I wanted answering, he answered. He explained why the match with Lesnar was so disappointed at WrestleMania, buried Lesnar in the process, which I thought was brilliant, because I didn't expect anybody to come out and say that against one of the highest paid guys in the company, who only works like, what, 5 times a year. And then talking about being a locker room leader on SmackDown. He's never had to do it before, but now he's got to. He's got to step up into that role. And those aspects of it were really interesting. I just think it was a rare swing and you miss for Austin. He's normally really good on those interviews.
Kiwi, now try to look at what kind of caused there to be such a kind of disparity between what Austin was going for and what Ambrose was putting out. Does it feel to you like there wasn't enough communication before they actually started shooting that?
It almost seemed like it was quite rushed. There was no briefing about the main points, because whenever you conduct an interview, you're going to have some points and questions down that you want to get over, you want to talk about, and you would do that together. And in a professional situation, which they both are in, doing this live recording on the WWE Network, which they know they'll get thousands of people watching it.
Yeah,
you know, it almost seems quite distorted. I mean, I sadly haven't had time to see it yet, but from what you guys are saying, it almost seems that it was a real rush, which is a shame. But there is a personality clash possibly there too. They are quite alike, quite hotheads, I would expect.
Well, just to see your thoughts when you do get to see it, so maybe give us a wee update once you've had a chance to check it out.
Yes, Dad.
Thanks.
No
for that.
Problem. Yeah, it's all right. I will watch it, no doubt.
Yeah, so there you go, Stan. I hope that kind of gives you our kind of feelings on the whole thing. It'd be interesting to see, you know, if anything comes out after the fact from either Camp Austin or Camp Ambrose as to how they felt during the actual filming of it. And I'm not saying either one of them are Camp Kiwi, and Adam, you better get a drink ready. I'm not saying either one of them are Camp. I'm just talking about, you know, from their side of things, are they going to say anything about how they felt about the interview? So we're just going to see what happens down the line on that. But as far as emails go, that's us for this week. If anybody wants to send us an email, please do. EuroUppercut@gmail.com. If you want to give us any feedback on anything we've said on these points or add any thoughts of your own, please do so on Twitter @TheEUPod. But we're going to move on to the next portion of the show, and we're going to do the not-so-knockout news. Now, Kai is obviously not here, but I've asked him to pre-record something, so let's check out what he's put together for us.
It's time for the not-so-knockout news!
Hello and welcome to this week's Not So Knockout News. Shelton Benjamin will not be returning to the WWE due to a torn rotator cuff. Ain't no stopping me, ow! And who's suing TNA this week, you ask? None other than Eric Bischoff, proving that Mr. Controversy will take your cash. That's the saying, right? Joey Styles has been released from WWE. For people who didn't know, oh my god, he was still hired. Yes, he was. He's been sat in WWE HQ with Ezekiel Jackson and the ECW Championship since 2010. Rhino has won his primaries in his campaign to be the representative of the Michigan State 15th District. Whatever hold he has over his opponents, I want to know all the gory details. Paul Heyman has come to terms with his WWE contract, his new WWE contract. Brock apparently had a heavy influence, and let's be glad, if it wasn't for Heyman, Brock would be the one behind the four in 32-9. Xavier Woods is considering a new business venture, opening his own arcade unit. I'm sure that's going to go up, up, down, down in the stock markets. And finally, Sean Puff Daddy Combs has announced that he is the curator for the WWE 20, 17 video game soundtrack, giving me even more reason than a repetitive Michael Cole to keep the volume muted. And that's all for this week's Not So Knockout News. I'll see you all right back here next week. Have a great show, guys.
Damn!
So there it is, the Not So Knockout News from Kai. Some interesting little stories there, but of course, the one that kind of caught me off guard when I heard about it at first was the Rhino running as a politician. I can't think of anyone who looks further from being a politician than Rhino. Any thoughts on any of those stories very quickly, guys? I'll come to you first, Adam.
I share your exact sentiments. Rhino does not look like a politician.
Even just Kane, but look at him.
Well, did you mean Demon Kane or Corporate Kane?
Demon Kane.
Yeah,
not Green Kane.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't start that now.
Don't start that again. No. Everyone just tweeted him saying, I like Jack Hall on the Week in Review. So I'm getting started on that nonsense again. Rhino might have stolen the worst hair in politics award from Donald Trump.
That's a hard battle to beat, but
yes,
Rhino's there or thereabouts. He looks like a greasy buffalo.
Fair enough. Never thought of him quite in that way. Okay, Kiwi, any thoughts from you on those stories there?
Well, Joey Styles, I'm pretty pissed off about that, to be fair. I know he hasn't been on TV for ages. He was just speaking his mind on a Facebook video with Kathy Kelly, whoever she is, the blonde bimbo who can't do an interview to save a life. But asking the questions, you know, quite fairly and understandably, and what everybody was thinking, really. And with the WWE basically succumbing to the internet wrestling fans in various different ways throughout their TV and online product, that they've gone and sacked Jerry Styles over it. I think that's absolutely disgusting. Such a shame. But yeah, that's about it for me, I think.
Okay, and Peaky, any stories you want to mention before we move on to the next stories?
No, I'll just echo my sentiments and agree that what they've done to Joey Styles is ridiculous. He's worked really hard for them in that media division for a while, and the fact that they've got rid of him for being himself is a borderline joke.
Interesting opinion. I get that, totally get that. Okay, let's move on now. That was recorded last night, so that was Tuesday night for anyone listening later. There's not been very much to really come out since then, but guys, is there anything you want to bring up at this point that has?
Yeah, well, we've got that promo that the UFC have got out. Ian, have you seen anything about this?
I've seen there's something there, I've not had time to watch it yet.
Okay, well, basically, let's go in. Basically, the UFC on their Facebook page have stated, it's been a long journey, but on September the 10th, CM Punk steps into the octagon for the first time at UFC 203. I watched the evolution of Punk premiering on Monday on FS1. And I don't know what FS1 is. I take it it's an American channel.
Yeah, it's Fox Sports 1.
Ah, well done, PK. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. So I'm no doubt it'll probably be available online at some point for us to watch here in the United Kingdom. But yeah, I mean, the documentary promo has had 1.2 million viewers so far, and actually it's very well produced. Very well produced. And I'm quite interested to watch it. And to be fair, I have not been a big CM Punk fan ever since he's left and what he's done and said. But I am interested to see this journey because it's fascinating, because I never really caught up with the whole Brock Lesnar evolution in 2004 into him going to the UFC. And I don't think it was ever documented like this. So I'll be interested to see it.
Okay, fair enough. Now, any other stories? Adam, you got anything to bring up?
The rumoured main event for the Royal Rumble is Brock Lesnar versus whoever the Universal Champion is. I still feel really weird saying that. It's such a stupid thing to say.
It should have been the galaxy title, don't you think?
Well, multiverse.
Multiverse, absolutely. The multiverse, yep. Oh, it's going to be a conversation that we're going to be having for a long time, so I think we'll just kind of brush it under the carpet for just now. But yeah, Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble against the champion, potentially putting him as the champion come WrestleMania. So that's, you know, you can see why they'd be thinking that, and obviously they do try and keep him in position for the major shows, so that's definitely a viable possibility. Do I want to see Brock winning the title come Rumble? It depends who he's up against. I think we'll just kind of hold off a little bit till we know more on that as the weeks go by. But
you know it's going to be Finn Balor, and they're going to be like, the demon versus the beast.
Oh, I'd look forward to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a good, that's a well thought out plan. That's exactly what they'll do. Yes.
And then it'll be Lesnar Reigns at WrestleMania, one last chance, and then Reigns gets third time lucky, assuming he's not on another wellness violation.
Assuming he's back in the good books by then.
Yeah, we can live in hope. We can live in hope.
To be fair, when we get to actually talking about Raw, I'm actually going to be positive about Roman Reigns for a change.
Well, oh, actually, yeah. I had something to say on the very same myself. So let's just move on with the show at this point in time, round off on the news.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
So let's start by looking back at the week that was, and some interesting stuff on wrestling TV. So we'll start really quickly. I'm going to bring up NXT first of all, and I'm going to tell you my highlight from NXT. In fact, I'm going to play you a little glimpse of my highlight from NXT in the last week. Oh, here we go. Now, other than it sounds like it could be part of a Eurovision Song Contest entry, what a brilliant new theme. I love it.
Brilliant new theme and a masterful promo as well.
It's amazing.
It's what would happen if Flash Gordon, Queen, and Conchita the had a kid. It's
I love that analogy, Adam. That is
so... I'll take a drink for that one.
I think so. So before the guy started speaking, I think you were going to say something else on that, Kiwi.
I was just going to say, you can only have a maximum of six people on the stage at Eurovision. So. that huge choir, I'm not so sure, but what an awesome piece of music. I was straight on iTunes to buy that. You know.
Good job.
Bottle and Brendan, the same. Straight on there. Getting it. And on
putting
repeat,
the dollar and CFO dollar.
Indeed. I mean, the damn dirty dollar is been paid for. I mean, there is a hilarious video, if you guys seen it. Sadly, it was on What Culture's Facebook page.
Yeah.
But Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa basically interrupting Bobby Roode and everything he does with his theme tune. And it's like Rick Rolling, basically. It was hilarious. You've got to check
so,
it
out. So, you know, PK, yeah, you wanted to chat about some glorious bombing, didn't you?
Yes. I thought this was hysterical. The best one for me was the one where it's pitch black and he's in bed. And he just gets up, looks really pissed off for a second, then just nods and then goes back to sleep. It's like the first one must have been like, and the one where he's actually making his entrance for a house show, and they're stood there waiting for him to make his entrance, so he has to stop, give the nod, and then walk out. It's amazing. I just think it's genuinely entertaining. It's really got people's attention in a positive way, getting the eyes on Rude and Gargano and Ciampa, and I absolutely love it.
Do you think it's going to be one of these angles that grows legs and then they decide they're going to use that on TV then?
No, I can't see them using it on TV. I can see them exploiting the hell out of it on social media, at least for a little while.
Fair enough.
Okay, so anything else from NXT anyone else wants to bring up at this point in time?
Good to see Hideo back.
Agreed.
Looking fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was it's interesting that he's adopted Daniel Bryan's knee, running knee.
Yeah. His to begin with, to be fair, before Daniel Bryan started using it.
That was
his setup move to go into the go to sleep when he was wrestling in Noah. He'd hit the knee and then pick them up and do the go to sleep.
It's Punk's, for God's sake. DK, get your facts right.
But it's weird though, because now Brian's obviously retired. He's back to using the knee again. But he could use the go to sleep because Punk's been gone for ages and he's not coming back.
Yeah. And you could sort of tell that the NXT crowd were waiting for it, weren't they?
But when he actually used it against Tyler Breeze, it was WrestleMania weekend last year. He used it against Breeze in one of the house shows, and people lost their mind. There was videos of it all over the internet because the originator had used it. So I think they're just saving it. Like, he'll hit that in his title match event down the road.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder if he'll bring it out for a takeover, so I'm interested to see if that comes up.
Yeah.
Okay, dokie. Let's Adam, anything else from NXT you want to bring up before we move on?
Well, with Hideo Itami, it was a bit weird because they put the scar on his shoulder over more than his actual return. There were just so many there's a scar on Hideo's shoulder. He's been gone for like a year, and the way they were just like, he was attacked in a car park by who we believe to be Kevin Owens. Mm. Here we are, that's that angle dealt with. No!
We're interested to see if they do revisit Joe? That.
Has it be Joe? That makes the most sense. Because Joe debuted the same night it happened.
Maybe they can capture it on GTV.
That will never happen. GTV is dead. unless the G stands for Goldberg, and that's how they're bringing it back. This could be epically long. You shut your face. This could be epically long term booking. Has Mojo Rawley lost his damn mind?
Yeah. Quite simply.
I don't know what he's done. Like, how he's not fulfilled the wellness policy is a mystery to me. He just looks like an advert for failing it. And all he does is yell. Like, he's my point of vitriol on NXT.
At least we don't have to deal with him on NXT anymore. And when he's on SmackDown, we ignore him.
So, PK, before we move on from NXT, anything else you want to add into this conversation?
No, I thought it was a very strong week this week, the strongest in a while. The last couple of weeks have been a little bit underwhelming. They've been all right, but nothing really noteworthy. Whereas this week we got the return of Hideo, and we also got an absolutely amazing, not just the music, but the amazing promo that Rude cut, how he went from babyface to heel all in just in natural dialogue. It wasn't like he was actively really trying. He just said a couple of words, and then the fan starts to go, oh, hang on.
You could see it. You could see the build of it coming. It was just really well crafted, I thought.
Yeah, I thought that, and I just think that's why he's so good, and that's why he deserves to be on the stage that he's on.
Yeah. Interesting that they referenced Eric Young again.
Yeah, I thought he was a one-and-done deal, but obviously I think they might be planning to use him again. But
interesting to see if they do. Let's move on from NXT, and let's go on to the Cruiserweight Classic. Well, obviously, you can't talk about the Cruiserweight Classic without talking about, as Kai did already, Gargano and Ciampa. That was just an amazing, probably 20, 25-minute long match. It was just absolutely fantastic, and it kept you literally glued to TV all the way through.
Yeah, I just thought that's what they're capable of doing. I've seen them live do a similar match at an indie show, but on that stage, in that crowd, it felt even bigger because, you know, the stakes that are involved as well.
Yeah.
But overall, that was the best week we've had so far for the Cruiserweight Classic. Every apart from the only match which, and I feel really bad saying this because I really like Noam, but his match wasn't the greatest. They just didn't seem to really click. It was okay.
There's something odd about that match. There was, I have to agree. And I even felt that Noam Dar almost felt a little bit out of place. I don't know why.
Yeah, but then like you got someone like a Jack Gallagher who people expected to look out of place, and he was absolutely amazing. And you had all these people popping up online the next day going, oh my God, he's fantastic. And Daniel Bryan put him over saying, I think I'm in love with him. And like for me to be watching Jack and for the last 5 years on shows and know Jack on the personal level as well, that was absolutely amazing to see.
Get him on here.
He's busy now. I can't get any time with him.
What a good
last
idea.
Time I interviewed him was 3 years ago, and then he suddenly blew up. But yeah,
that was a great show.
And his opponents as well. I'd never heard of his opponent, Fabian Aichner, whoever his name is. Yeah, but he really impressed me. That double jump moonsault he did from the outside into the ring was really impressive.
Yeah, but to see, and this is the other thing as well. We saw on Raw this week that little bit of a teaser for the Cruiserweight division, and we saw a lot of these talents in that little video clip that they played. But interesting to see how many of these guys have been approached for their contract already.
I'd say out of the 32-man field, at least 10 of them are going to get, at the very least, offered contracts. If not, I've already signed. A few of them have already signed.
It was great. So at least we've already seen two of them on NXT as well. So it kind of gives you a bit of a clue as to the fact that they are looking to get a good few of these guys on contract.
Yeah, and the fact that it was like Ibushi had a really good showing and went over. I know, obviously, it ties into the Buddy Murphy storyline at the moment where they're both trying to get one up on each other, but it was still a good platform to get Ibushi over.
Yeah, what did you feel of the Sean Maluta match in NXT?
I thought it was all right. You know, he was, I never heard of him. I had a feeling that they'd want to keep him on and do something with him just because of his family name, because it's WWE. But, I thought it was good. He's in the fact that everyone expected him versus Ibushi in the Cruiserweight Classic to just be a showcase for Ibushi, and it was very 50-50. It just goes to show how good Ibushi is as well, helping people get over.
Absolutely. Adam, your thoughts on last week's Cruiserweight Classic?
I think it was the strongest one. I also agree that Noam Dar, even though I want him to win, it was just the finish looked a bit weird.
Yeah.
He looked like a dog humping a leg.
Now, Kiwi, you've got to take a drink every time Adam says something that's got a bit of sexual in your end about it.
I can't drink anything soft, hard, because I've got to work tomorrow. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, I've got a drink for that. Bloody hell. This was a terrible idea.
Well, he does that, Kiwi. Any other thoughts you want to add to the Cruiserweight Classic from last week?
Yes, I loved, absolutely loved Jack Gallagher. I mean, his character and all the work that he did against Fabian Aichner on Cruiserweight Classic was just brilliant. The whole match, amazing. I mean, Fabian Aichner, I mean, as PK said, that moonsault was incredible.
Yeah,
and Jack's running dropkick and Daniel Bryan almost, you know, having a full on orgasm after that. My
God, Jesus Christ, Kiwi!
It's interesting that that's what they're using as his WWE finisher, because he's got like normally in his indie appearances he does that, and then he does almost like a senton, a swanton like headbutt off the top. But obviously, I think they're trying to avoid the whole diving headbutt thing. But the dropkick still, I was a bit skeptical, but it still looked really impactful.
It looked really impressive. Really enjoyed that dropkick. We've not touched on Rich Swann versus Jason Lee, so I'm going to come to you, Adam. Any comments on that match?
Yeah, it happened. It was okay, but I think everything got overshadowed by Gargano. And Ciampa.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, Swan's charisma got over more than anything, which he's great in the ring anyway, but his charisma is off the charts.
Yeah, you could just feel that oozing out of the TV screen when you were watching. It was really good fun to watch. Let's chat very quickly. Oh, sorry, on you go, Kiwi.
I was just going to say, you really had to put it on like some type of slower speed to watch. Flying all over the place. Even Jason were flying all over the place. But no, it was fun to see, of course.
Yeah. Let's have a quick look at this week's two matches. We've got Gran Metalik versus Tajiri and Ibushi versus Cedric Alexander. Now, both of these are going to be really, really fun matches. I'm really looking forward to both of these when I watch tomorrow. But Adam, which are you most looking forward to?
Gran Metalik and Tajiri.
Because you love a bit of Tajiri.
And I like Gran Metalik as well. I think they're both really good. I like Tajiri because he's old school. And I like Gran Metalik because he looks like how a drug dealer would in the show Adventure Time.
What a reference.
And that makes me happy.
Good. Kiwi, what are you looking forward to most out of those two matches?
I'm looking forward to Ibushi versus Cedric Alexander. I mean, these guys are real sort of indie darlings, to be honest. Yeah. I loved what Cedric was doing in Ring of Honor from the few times I was watching. Yeah. And Ibushi has been doing amazing stuff in Japan, and his matches that he's done in NXT and also in the Cruiserweight Classic a few weeks ago has been awesome. I love the fact that they've given him or let him do, you know, the set out last ride powerbomb. I think it's crazy, and he executed so well. So I'm looking forward to this match, and I would expect that Ibushi would go over on this one, but you never know.
And last of all, but certainly not least, PK, your thoughts?
Yeah, I can't wait for both matches, but it's got to be the Ibushi Alexander match. I've been trying to stay clear of any sort of results to try and keep it fresh, but I've heard a lot of people say how good that match was at the tapings and the reaction it got, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how it translates on TV. Ooh. And apparently there was a chance of someone signing him to about Cedric after the match. So that makes me even more hyped to see it. And it's gonna be a very good week. I like the fact that now we're in the second round, it's only two matches per show as well. So we know each match is going to get at least 20 minutes of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
If not more.
I think we're going to get to see a bit more of kind of the background and build up to who these guys are as well.
Yeah, definitely. And they'll really get to show that they can tell a story, not just... Because a lot of those matches in the first round were very spot heavy. Because they needs to be. They got like 10 minutes worth of time. Just to go out there and do something. This second round is where we're going to really see how good a lot of these guys are.
Yeah, these were filmed almost a month ago. So, you know, there are a lot of kind of spoilers floating around as to what's been going on. It's actually quite impressive how we've managed to avoid finding out a lot of these results by this point.
Yeah, because like normally NXT spoilers, you can find them really easy. But I think because everyone's been so hyped up this tournament, everyone's trying to avoid them as best as they can.
Well, it's funny, when I'm prepping these shows, I like to make sure I've got a note of what the matches have been in the previous week. If I haven't written them down or anything, I make sure I've got them done by this point in the show. I can't go and look at Wikipedia because Wikipedia's got all the results. In fact, anywhere you search pretty much has all the results. Unless you go to WWE.com. It's the only place where it's actually giving you the televised results as they stand.
Yeah, I noticed that myself. I went onto the Wikipedia page and then I had this quick scroll, and as soon as I saw there was more than one round in the bracket, I was like, nope, close.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Wikipedia, stop it. Back off. Anyway, so there's lots to look forward to in the CWC. Now, going to quickly jump over to TNA from last week, which I actually thought was one of the better episodes of the last few months in total last week. And for no other reason than the fact that my favourite wrestler, Eli Drake...
Dummy! Yeah!
...lost his title. Fucking yes! James Storm is now the King of the Mountain title owner, and I can be so much more happy because I absolutely hate Eli Drake.
Dummy, yeah.
And He is the dummy as far as I'm concerned. He annoys me every time I see him in action. Anyway, so glad he's lost his title, and that's my TNA talk for this week. Anybody else got anything to say about TNA?
I'll be honest, I've not watched TNA in months. I've seen the final deletion stuff. I saw Matt Hardy. I've listened to Matt Hardy on Jericho and thought, yeah, you really do believe yourself at the moment. Turned it off halfway through. He was doing the editing.
I really hope they're going to put an end to that soon, because it's annoying the fuck out of me. It's the only thing that really annoys me more than Eli Drake.
Dummy, yeah.
Dummy, yeah. So it's the fact that like he's on a podcast, which is it's a shoot interview podcast, and he's still saying completely in character, talking in the same accent. And it's like, oh, get over yourself.
The same accent. He does about four accents in every sentence. But you know, you have to give him points for commitment. He is going full on, and you've got to give him that, because you know, when has he ever done a character like that ever in his career? So you know, he's made an effort. But it's time to call it a day. Put it to rest. Goodbye. Go back to being Matt Hardy, then disappear, I don't know, back into the realms of your home and look after your child or something. I don't know.
That has been announced. Sorry to interrupt, but it's been announced that Will Ospreay is going to be appearing on the UK Ring of Honor shows.
Oh, that's handy to know.
Hopefully that would mean to things actually in the States for him as well.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Interesting.
What if the Matt Hardy we're seeing now is the real Matt Hardy, and he's been playing a character all these years?
I'm sure that's the way he thinks, to be fair.
What if the Matt Hardy we're seeing now is the real Matt Hardy, with a lineage that's Australian, African, New Zealand, going by the accents?
Yeah, well, I don't want to see it anymore. That's all I'm going to say. Had enough. Anyway,
I love it. It's amazing. It's his best work by far. It's yeah. I'm not entirely certain it's not racist, but I'm loving it.
I'm not 100% sold on what they're doing with the Knockouts division at the moment. We'll just see where they're at with that in about a month's time or so. Hopefully that settles down a little bit.
What Knockouts division? I hear you crying. There's only three.
Oh. Still got Gail.
And by the looks of it, they're all being trained by Eva Marie.
Yeah, they're all.
We'll come to Eva Marie in a bit, because she's going to get her own special little moment, I think, this week.
I love her now. It's actually amazing.
Don't let's keep that. Keep that. Hold that thought right there. Okay, so let's move on from TNA. They've had enough time for this week. Let's go on to this week's Raw. And for a 3-hour show, with quite a lot going on, I found it quite hard this morning trying to think back as to what my favourite point was. I just got a little bit blank. But then I actually thought really hard for a little bit, and one of my favourite bits was probably that Seth Rollins promo in the middle. Quite enjoyed that. Thought that was quite well played out, and interesting to see how that transpires between now and SummerSlam, and well, the post-SummerSlam Raw as well. Thoughts on Raw / Seth Rollins and anything else Raw, Adam?
I adore that promo as well. Just basically going, so Finn, everything you've done, I have done before you. Booyah! That was that was good. Again, the Braun Strowman thing, it just continues to crack me up.
The in-depth interview with that jobber was amazing.
And the way they keep calling Byron Saxton Anderson Cooper is just brilliant.
I'm actually quite enjoying the way both booths have settled down after a couple of weeks. Even David Otunga is not annoying me at the moment, which is good. So it means he's obviously starting to grow on me.
I want Braun Strowman's next opponent to be Heath Slater, and I want him to win. So being like, I told you I was the greatest.
Oh, Heath Slater, absolutely entertaining me on every which level at the moment. Loved that little spiel on SmackDown when he was ranting away at Shane and Daniel and talked himself out of a contract, essentially. I thought it was really well done.
He's amazing. In a perfect world, I haven't beat Lesnar.
Now that would be funny.
See, what they should do is they should bring back everybody that defeated them and all those legends came back in the past. Bring them all back and you can beat them all in one fell swoop in one big handicap match. That would be interesting. Then he'd be over. Over like the moon.
Isn't one of the legends that beat him Lita? And isn't that highly, highly frowned upon in WWE now?
As long as he gets the pin.
But then he won't win. Like, there's no way. There's no way we can help Peace. Oh my word!
Well, unless, maybe she just doesn't get into the match. Maybe she,
unless he goes down to a part-time contract, because apparently on a part-time contract, you can get more than anything.
Yep, that's true. That is very true. Okay, Kiwi. Anything else from Raw that you particularly enjoyed?
Yeah, the Finn Balor promo, as I mentioned before, I thought that was really cool. To be honest with you, I wasn't too keen on the old start promo of the back of Raw with Enzo and Cass making gay jokes. I thought that was a bit silly. Cass made them, so I was like, well, come on, try something else. And just to touch on what PK said earlier about Roman Reigns' his scenes and stuff, I think it was really good. It was enjoyable, and I'm really quite happy that he's taking this placing now in the mid-card roster. He's got to really start from the bottom and work his way back up again and try and garner some reaction from the crowd properly once again. So if he's going against Rusev, he's definitely got the marks behind him, and go from there.
Now, Peaky, I can't remember who brought this up on the AllWrestling.com Week in Review, but someone was saying there seems to be a definite air at the moment that scripted promos are being put to the wayside, rather folk are being given a bit more artistic license, whether it's bullet points or given just free rein to go out and drop their promos. Now, we know in the Dean Ambrose Austin interview, that's how he likes to roll. He doesn't want a script. He hates getting given a script. Do you believe that that is the way they're going at the moment, that they're putting those scripts to the side now?
It seems to be, because that's, I'll be honest as well, I'm very positive on Roman Reigns this week because he seemed to be really into the segment. He felt natural. He was genuinely funny. Mm-hmm. The interactions with Rusev and Lana were spot on. Like, and when Rusev went to take his vest off and he said, "Oh, put that meat away," I just cracked up. And it shows that, like, that's the Roman Reigns that you see whenever he does these, like, out of character, like, these TV show appearances and interviews, like, talking head interviews, that charismatic, genuinely nice guy persona. And that's what he needs to get across on TV more. And hopefully that this means that they'll trust the people like that more with the promos. Seth, I think, has had that free reign for a while, and it shows because he's one of the best on the mic, and that promo this week just proved it yet again. Yeah. The fact that he's so good as a heel, he still gets booed, but by the time he finishes talking, people actually applaud him. And it's like, actually, yeah, I can see your point.
Yeah.
It's genuinely really good. And overall, the other thing as well I didn't really like on Raw this week, there was parts of the opening promo which I enjoyed, but it was a bit clunky. And one thing that I did like, though, was when he did the whole SAWFT spot at the end. And all you get out of Owens is, "That's not how you spell that, SOFT. And that's why he's so good. I was a bit disappointed, no Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn would have been perfect to come out as Neville's partner instead of Sin Cara. And there was no Sami Zayn at all on the show, and how can you not fit Sami Zayn into a 3-hour show? Arguably your best worker you've got on the roster at the moment.
Unless there's a reason, perhaps there was a reason he was off TV, but I don't know.
And I like what they're doing with Cesaro as well, with that chip on the shoulder really starting to come across more. In the fact that he came out and demanded that title match, and he started to goad Mick Foley a bit, saying, "Well, I thought you were a man of your word." I really liked that, and it just proves that he has got a personality for no matter what, or what any of his naysayers do say.
Cool. Oh, Kiwi, coming to you, your thoughts on the whole Sasha, Charlotte, Dana scenario from Raw?
I don't know what I could add up to obviously what's said, but I don't know. I'm happy with it. You won't find many complaints from me, to be honest, but it was what it was, to be honest. I can't really add much else to it.
Fair enough. Do you think we're going to get a clean match out of the two of them now that Dana's banned from ringside?
I'd like to think so, and I think that it will happen, the fact that it will be just a straight-up one-on-one match at SummerSlam, and it could be a good chance. Yes, yeah, it could be a good chance for Sasha to get a nice, clean win over Charlotte. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Cool. Okay, let's transition over to SmackDown. I'm going to open the conversation on SmackDown with Eva Marie. I said she was going to get a wee moment this week. Let's have an Eva Marie moment. Last week we had the moment where she jumped off the corner and allegedly hurt her leg and couldn't compete in the match. This week we got a very convenient wardrobe malfunction, which meant she couldn't face Becky this week. Obviously that happened off screen. We didn't quite see how that came about, but it was interestingly played. Only for Alexa Bliss to come down and start having a match with Becky instead. And then halfway through that, Eva Marie gets reintroduced by a ring announcer, which was brilliant. I loved that reintroduction. I thought it was well played. Alexa Bliss getting her big win over Becky Lynch. Your thoughts on that segment? I'll start with Adam.
It's amazing. I am completely 180'd on this. I've now realised she's been trolling me the entire time. Fair play, Marie. Fair play. It's, yeah. Eva Marie is now ready to compete. And then she comes out, does the whole thing again. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that she can't dress herself is hysterical.
She can't dress herself. They expect her to carry a match one of these days.
I'm starting to think that her career is her make-a-wish.
Now that is a very good point.
Right, Kiwi, your thoughts on Eva Marie this week?
I haven't watched SmackDown, but I just saw the clip and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. The whole segment is just perfect for her to garner this huge heel reaction. She's obviously got a huge heel reaction anyway, just for being herself, but adding to it. The WWE are making a very calculated, clever move in this. And then having her come out with that introduction in the middle of Becky and Alexa Bliss's match, I think that was brilliant. Eva's doing the right thing here. And yes, long may it continue for weeks on end. I'm quite happy for that.
Anything to add to that, PK?
I was just saying, we were having a quick chat then. It reeks of Paul Heyman era SmackDown, hiding people's negatives, her negative being she can't wrestle for shit, and accentuating the positives, and that people love to hate her.
And this also buys her a little bit of time to train further before she has to get back in a ring. So hopefully
there's not enough training in the world to make it possible.
Hopefully by then there's enough smoke and mirrors to hide even whatever she has left. Anyway.
Oh, I miss Cody.
Now, my next point on SmackDown was the beatdown from Baron Corbin on Kalisto. It looked absolutely awful. It looked like the weakest beatdown I've ever seen in the history of staged beatdowns. Adam.
Oh my word, this was just terrible. it looked like two frenemies outside a nightclub in Edinburgh just sort of trying to teach the other a lesson, but not hurt them, babe. And it was very, very Jeremy Kyle.
That doesn't happen in Edinburgh. I'll have to tell you that straight away. It doesn't happen in Edinburgh. It's
Mate, no shit straight off. I was in Edinburgh 2 years ago. It happens.
Anyway, any other comments on that, Kiwi?
Yes, I think it looked so wrong, this whole beatdown. Because if you see, Baron Corbin is just thrusting his thigh and his crotch right into Kalisto's face.
Just drink from the bottle now, boys.
It's number 11.
Gave up on the shot last about 20 minutes ago.
You take a point for this, Adam.
No, I mean, keep going.
It looked, as you quite rightly said, it's a living legend. It looked pathetic. Pathetic. I mean, Kalisto didn't come away with anything wrong here at all.
You're going to pull your punches, but my God, they were just the most pathetic looking things I've ever seen. PK, do you have anything to add to that?
I think Darren Corbin's got really weak looking worked punches anyway, and then to put it in that sort of like close quarters environment, it just really showed off how piss poor they are. And was not a fan of that segment at all.
Okay, let's talk about the Wyatts and how we're feeling about where they're going at the moment. Let's start with you, PK.
I like the fact at the moment that Bray is getting to be Bray still. He's not he's not really in the title picture, but he is at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's working for me personally, and if they can keep using him like this, I think it's going to be really good going forward, because he's going to be able to actually put on good matches with the likes of Ziggler and Ambrose, which we've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything to add to that, Kiwi?
No, at all. Really, I think it's really just to keep Ambrose and Ziggler busy until SummerSlam comes out. It was quite obvious from the ending of last week's SmackDown that this tag team match was going to come up. It was an obvious straight up tag team match, but I think it's good for Ziggler, and I think it made sense for Ziggler to get the win from this match. So make Ziggler look eligible, well, will basically look better going into the match. So yes, it's all fine.
Adam, do you think that Bray is going to get an actual proper one-on-one title match post SummerSlam then?
I think it's going to end up being a triple threat at SummerSlam.
I kind of like that, but I kind of wanted to just have a straight on one-on-one with Dolph and Dean,
That can fuel the Dolph of the heel turn, being kind of, how many more times is this company going to screw me? I remember when Triple H, SummerSlam 99, when it was turned into a triple threat, and Triple H came out and went, was everyone afraid from day one that I might succeed? And kind of just said, you know, a bogus referee, Mick Foley steals my thunder, what the hell, breaks JR's arm. And then just does this epic heel turn. I want Ziggler to do, obviously don't break JR's arm. He's not working no more. And it's common assault.
He can always get Mauro.
He can. Oh, the IWC would go, they wouldn't know what to do.
Oh, we'd be fuming.
Oh my word, it's my favourite commentator and my favourite wrestler arguing. Oh, it's like Sophie's Choice.
Sophie's Choice. Ah, diddy me. Right, okay. Other positives from SmackDown. PK?
Trying to think, well.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah. As much as I liked the way he highlights American Alpha, they had the match with the local competitors, and they got all like the other main tag teams to come down and like watch them.
There were so many other tag teams. So many.
Yeah, all three of them. And then it erupted into a big brawl, which American Alpha came out of looking really strong yet again. It's a nice way to get them over. And I really like the way that Daniel Bryan just seems to be trolling people left, right and centre, like making snidey comments about Raw. And he's taken to that GM of SmackDown role brilliantly. on slight little thing on the Wyatt side of things, has anyone listened to the Austin podcast with Braun Strowman yet?
No, not yet.
Very, very good. I was really surprised how good it was, how well he came across, because he's very, considering he's like silent killer on TV, he's very outgoing and chatty. And
what does he sound like? Because I like the thing, because like in my mind, it's probably like, yeah, I'm Brian. It'll probably sound like a white Mark Henry, but I would also quite like it if they ask a question and goes, "What are you?"
He sounds like your standard guy from North Carolina, like that slightly southern but not really southern accent. But
that's disappointing.
But it was really interesting interview talking about working with Bray and how he was a bit disappointed at first when he got split up from them because he really enjoyed traveling with him and learning from him, and Bray would always suggest things like go and watch this match, go do this, go do that. I didn't like the way that I didn't like this, but I loved this. Keep more of this, and it was really helping him develop and move along. And it was really interesting to hear how highly regarded Bray is thought of, as a wrestling mind.
Now, did he or did he not give us any clues that they're planning of teaming him up with Snitsky?
No, but he did say there was big things planned, but he doesn't want to break. He didn't, obviously, he didn't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But, of course, he's got to say that.
Like, that's what it has to be. What else could it be?
It wasn't my fault. Okay. Let's chat about Miz and Maryse, and also Miz getting kidnapped by Scooby-Doo. Or something. So Miz and Maryse, that lovely awkward moment with Renee Young at the table. What the hell was all that about, Kiwi?
Oh, who knows? Who knows?
Let me just get my bottle ready. Okay, 3, 2, 1, off you go, son.
Well, there's a reason I started with Kiwi, just for that very reason.
Well, you know, there could be a little bit of HLA on, don't you think?
Oh, a little bit of threesome action.
Okay.
By the way, what is it with straight people wanting to see two women get it on? I don't understand.
That's a conversation for cerebral satire.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
I am regretting this idea right now, boys. This is an awful, awful idea.
I mean, the two of them were certainly getting on in the table.
They were, weren't they? More ways than one.
Oh, fuck you.
I've just spilled a glass of water all over my desk. Shite.
I wondered what you were going to say. You spilled all over the desk there.
Oh, Jesus.
So we're kind of to pause the podcast here for a few minutes as I managed to pour a glass of water all over my desk, my wireless keyboard, etc. I'm quite glad it's a wireless keyboard for that very reason. I think my iPad managed to come off unscathed. But let's get back to talking about Miz and Maryse. Now, I'm going to come to you, PK. Your thoughts on the whole Miz scenario at the moment?
I am actually really enjoying Miz's work at the moment because this is the role to hand the pun, but the role he was born to play. That arrogant Hollywood movie star that he just genuinely embodies that character, and him and Maryse having a lot of fun and enjoying themselves and enjoying doing it, so let them carry it on as far as I'm concerned.
And the Scooby-Doo segment, let's jump to the Scooby-Doo segment. Painful, wasn't it?
Yes, we know you've got a movie out, fuck's sake.
Yeah, plug. They got it on Raw and SmackDown. Fuck's sake. But yeah, I don't get the whole taking them away in the back of the mystery machine, but I don't see the point of that. Pointless.
Any segment that involves the Golden Truth is also pointless. So the Raw one's also out for that very reason.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Let's kind of round off on that. Lots of interesting stuff in the last week, though, and lots more to come in the week to come. Obviously, as we build up towards SummerSlam and the NXT TakeOver as well. So much going on at the moment. NXT happening tonight, CWC tonight. I'll get to watch those tomorrow at some point. So looking forward to seeing those.
And then Wednesday, guys, in a couple of weeks, we've got Lucha Underground coming back as well at the beginning of September.
Yeah, what a short gap that's been, I tell you. It's coming back very quick.
They knew how much people wanted it back last time and probably felt like, well, we can't leave them hanging again.
You know? That's potentially true. That is potentially true. Right, guys. Now, I was thinking about doing a quiz this week, so I kind of racked my brains as to what we could do for a quiz. And I thought I'd bring back one that we've not played for a long time. Who remembers this?
True or false?
So true or false works like this. I've got a list and a topic. I'm going to say a name from that list, and if they are correct for that topic, it's true. If they're wrong, it's false. So, for example, if I'm saying former US champions in the WWE and I said Carlito, that would be true. So, we're going to go through you in turn, and if you get one right, you get a point. If you don't, you don't get a point. Move on to the next person. Whoever has the most points when we get to the end will be declared the winner, quite naturally. So, I'm going to do it in order of the alphabet of your surname, I think. So that'll be PK Adam Kiwi.
Yay!
Yeah.
last but certainly not least, PK. Don't worry, don't worry. It might even work out in your favour, you never know. Right, okay, so I'm going to go through the list one name at a time. You take turns, starting with PK, as I said. Tell me true or false, and I'll tell you if you're right or wrong. And your topic is ECW World Champions. So, PK, was Lance Storm a ECW champion? Yes, true or false?
False.
It's correct. Adam.
Hello.
Dean Malenko. True or false?
Can I say maybe and get half a point?
No. Okay. Come on, quickly. True or false? Come on, quickly.
That's right. Okay, true.
False.
Damn it.
Kiwi, just incredible.
True.
It's true. Correct.
Yeah.
PK. PK Cactus Jack.
False.
It's correct. Adam Jimmy Snuka.
True.
Two-time champion. That's correct. Kiwi Al Snow.
False.
False is also correct. PK Terry Funk.
True.
True. Two-time champ. Adam, Rob false, Van Dam.
Oh, true.
True for Rob Van Dam is incorrect. Never ECW champion.
He was the first ECW champion. What are you on about?
Maybe in your head.
WWE title at the same time.
Now, I should have set an absolute precedent here at the start. I forgot to say it. This is only in the original proper ECW, not the reinvented half effort of an ECW WWE did in 2006 or whatever it was. Well, I should have stated that up front.
You should have done. You have failed us all.
Shite. Okay, I'm going to strike that one from the list and I'll give you another one instead, Adam, okay?
Okay.
Masato Tanaka.
True.
Is correct.
Yes!
PK Raven.
True.
What about me?
Oh, Kiwi Raven, sorry. Fuck.
True.
I'm going to have to edit this a minute. sorry, I'll give you a replacement one, PK Kiwi. It's Eddie Guerrero.
False.
It's correct. PK Tito Santana.
False.
Incorrect. He's a one-time ECW champion. Adam Balls Mahoney. Is correct.
Yes, I'm so good when I'm drunk.
Kiwi Mike Awesome.
True.
Twice, yeah. PK the Sandman.
True.
Five-time ECW champion, the only person who held it five times. Adam Jerry Lynn.
Surely, true.
Correct. Kiwi Blue Mini.
False.
Is correct. PK Spike Dudley.
False.
Is correct. Adam Yoshihiro Tajiri.
False.
Is correct.
Yes.
Kiwi Stevie Richards.
False.
Correct. PK Tommy Dreamer.
True.
Is correct. Adam Taz.
True.
Two times. Correct. Kiwi Rhino.
True.
Yes, one time. PK D. Von Dudley.
False.
Is correct. Adam Mikey. Autocorrect has changed my screen to Shipwreck. It should be Mikey Whipwreck.
Oh, I think that's true.
It is true. Correct. Q. Kiwi, Shane Douglas.
True.
Four times. PK Don Morocco.
False.
Incorrect. Two-time champion. Over to Adam. Johnny Hotbody.
That sounds like a porn star name. So I'm going to go once again. I'm going to drink for that. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Here we go. False.
False is incorrect. He was one time. Okay. Kiwi Sabu.
True.
Correct. PK Perry Saturn.
False.
Is correct. Adam Bubba Ray Dudley.
False.
Correct. Kiwi Steve Carino.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Jesus Christ.
False.
False would be incorrect. Oh! He's a one-time former champion. PK Bam Bam Bigelow.
False. I believe he was only TV champion.
No, he's a one-time champion. Last one for Adam, Chris Candido.
Oh. False.
Is correct. Kiwi, your last one to finish off. New Jack.
Oh, finish off. Let me finish it off by saying true.
Is incorrect. Oh! So, now to do a quick count. PK.
I reckon I've got two more drinks.
Oh, damn. Oh dear. I don't want to kill a celebrity.
Okay, we've got a tie. It's lucky I prepared a tiebreaker. Adam.
Yeah.
You came third on 8 points.
Okay. Is that good?
Adam, yes, because Adam and Kiwi both got 9 points. So there's only 1 point in it.
So so go to that again.
You lost. By 1 point, though. Only 1 point in it. So we've got a tiebreaker. Kiwi and PK. Ooh. I'm going to read out the tiebreaker. You're going to give me a number. Whoever's closest to the number wins. Now, when I say your name, I want an answer straight away. Okay, so PK, coming to you first. Shane Douglas boasts the longest ECW title reign, but how many days did it last?
330.
Kiwi.
280.
280 days. The correct answer is 406 days, making PK the winner.
Congratulations.
Should have gone 301.
Oh, that was a fun game.
It was, to be fair, I watched far too much ECW in the late 90s. I'm staring at VHS tapes on my shelf as we speak.
As you do. Got a couple of DVDs, but no VHSs anymore. Oh, God.
I can't play them on anything, but I've still got them.
Yeah, you can always get some sort of deal and get them converted. Or you could just watch them on the network.
Yeah.
Or you could go to cash converters and buy a VHS player.
Yeah, for 20
quid. Just recently, actually, it was revealed that the last company that was still making VHS machines gave up the ghost. They stopped making them just recently.
So they're still in existence. There's a guy in America, and I swear this is true, whose life ambition is to own every single copy of the movie Speed in circulation on VHS. He's got like 5,000 of the things, and a very loyal yet confused wife.
I'm not surprised. Dearie me, let's move on.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's your cell. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it three times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
Gonna move into final thoughts for this week.
Is Gredo coming out drinking with us in Edinburgh, Ian?
I'll extend an invite, see if he's up for it.
Do it.
When he hears the Jägermeisters on the cars, it might be a possibility. Although he might insist on bringing some Bucky. Some good old Buckfast.
No, fuck it, I'm gonna ask. Buckfast, nice.
Yeah, there'll be a fair bit of that going around the Fight Club Pro on Friday as well.
Ah, dearie me. Right, let's move on to final thoughts for this week. And I'm going to start with Adam. Your final thoughts, please.
Stay away from alcohol, kids. It's a bad thing. And Kiwi Tarts cannot be trusted. My sanity was in his hands and he let me down.
Took advantage of you, Mr. Pearson. I'm sorry.
You did.
That was another one. Another drink, please, Adam.
It's gone. Like,
you better go back to your drinks cabinet and get that Lamborghini out.
There is no more. I think I got a bottle of champagne lying around somewhere. I'm not opening
it. What true celebrity doesn't?
Classic.
Anyway.
Final thoughts, okay. Wrestling, let me think. So, yeah, Cruiserweight Classic, very excited for those two matches.
Yep.
The Tajiri thing and the Rich, I want to say Rich one, but I know that's wrong.
Cedric Alexander.
That's the name I was looking for.
Funnily enough.
And then Hibushi and other guy. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I've forgotten how much CM Punk's voice irritates me until I watch that video.
For the benefit of Adam, it's actually Grand Metallic and Tajiri and Ibushi and Cedric Alexander.
There we go. Them's the names. Okay. And yeah, this much like Jurassic Park has been an experiment I regret doing.
Diddy me. Let's move on to PK, your final thoughts, please.
Because I wasn't here to plug it last week, check out ICW's latest pay-per-view, Shug's House Party 3, on their on-demand service. It's very, very good. If you
don't
like
watch
the
it on
school,
the Fight TV app. Don't watch it on the Fight TV app. They're charging 19 quid.
Yes, but you can subscribe to ICW On Demand for around 5. So go and watch it on that. Very, very good show. If you liked old school ECW and you haven't watched ICW yet, you're missing out. If you're in the Midlands region on Friday, come down to Fight Club Pro in Wolverhampton. We've got probably one of the best cards I've seen for a British wrestling show in a long time, with Tommy End making his final appearance going up against Trent Seven, Chris Brooks taking on Clint Margera in a rematch from the last show, War Machine of Ring of Honor taking on the Face Smashers of Wild Boar and Dan Maloney, Tyler Bate taking on Jigsaw, also from Chikara in Ring of Honor, and the first ever women's match at Fight Club Pro with Nixon Newell taking on Jessica Havoc, who people may know from TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And Sami Callihan is back defending the ICW Fight Club Pro championship against Travis Banks, who I've been putting over on this podcast a lot recently, and that match will be incredible. So
yeah, there's been some lovely interaction on Twitter with Travis Banks. Hopefully he's been listening to the show, because he certainly was going to check it out after we mentioned that he got mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago. So,
yep, so get down to Wolverhampton. You will not regret it.
Lovely. That's what we like to hear. Kiwi Tuts.
I like your Black Country accent there, Ian.
I've got lots of accents. I just keep them tucked away sometimes.
But anyway, my final thought is our promo that we caught on NXT is from a superstar, diva or male, I have no idea, but it's called Amber Moon.
So Ember Moon, yes. And spoiler alert, female.
Former Athena on the indies. Absolutely brilliant. Her finisher is a diving, twisting stunner from the top rope.
Oh my god! Another favourite from Heavy Set, actually.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Really?
I can't wait to see her and someone like Asuka go at it.
So, what was her name again there, PK? I'm just going to Google it.
Athena.
Athena on the indies. There's plenty of, obviously, because she's making a debut soon, lots of indie companies are putting up free matches with her in. Go check her out. She's really good.
Oh, thanks, dudes. Yeah. Wow, cool. Can't wait. I really love this promo. I think it's lovely, spooky, and it's something different. So
Yeah. If you look for Athena, and it's going to sound wrong, but a finish is called the O face on the Indies. It's one of the most spectacular finishes I've ever seen from a female wrestler.
Mm, interesting.
OMG. Okay. Oh yeah, it hits it off a ladder I've got here right now. This looks crazy. Yeah, literally flies off the top, grabs hold of the head, and then does a stunner. That is crazy.
There you go.
Anyway, check that out. Yes. Thanks, PK.
No problem. Well, why else have Mr. Indie Wrestling on?
To clarify, if I Google Athena O-Face, it's going to be cool.
Yes.
Okay, let's roll the dice.
It's amazing.
Listen to Adam's keyboard tapping away.
It's a 50-second Fury video of it, too.
I should be clear. There's a big difference between Adam's keyboard tapping away and mine tapping away because of the water poured over it earlier.
You assume my keyboard's not wet.
I do assume it's not wet.
God, do you guys think that the O-Face is going to stay in the WWE, or do you think it might?
She's been doing it on house shows. There was a video from a house show that came out with her hitting it on. Oh, can't remember who she hit it on, but it was one of the
Nikki Storm.
Yeah, might have been Nikki.
Okay, I've just gone back to the results page on YouTube. Yeah, she does do it. Oh my gosh!
Hey, okay. We could chat about Ember Moon's finisher all we like, and we still don't know if that's going to be the case when she actually debuts, but not long to go, next Saturday, so something to look forward to at TakeOver.
Yeah. It is TakeOver, is it?
Yeah, because it's 20th, isn't it? Oh, I am remembering that, right? Yes.
Yeah, good point, Ian. Thank you. Sorry about that. Yeah.
So that's the little time you have to wait. It's only...
Oh, I'm so excited.
10 days from now. Anyway, I'm going to move on to mine. Two quick points. One leads naturally into the other. First up, this Saturday, I'm at the latest Discovery Wrestling show. Quite an interesting looking card there. We've got, let's see, let's run through it very quickly. Comic Zone and Michael Chase versus the House of Sane, which is Christopher Sane and Theodoros, and a mystery new member to be revealed. We've got Colt Cabana facing off against Aspen Faith. We've got a qualifier for the W3L Golden Ticket Ladder Match, which is Mark Coffey versus Danny Boy Rogers. Just to do my second point in the middle of my first point, and that is check out my interview with Mike Musso from W3L on the Trending Topics Network. A nice wee chat with him, find out about the history of W3L. Really good chat. Check that out. Also in the card, we've got Big Damo taking on Dave Conrad, which should be a hard-hitting match. In fact, GR would certainly call that one a slobber knockout. We've also got tag team action with the New Age Click versus War Machine. We've got also a title on the line with Lewis Gervin defending the Y Division Championship against Edinburgh's Joe Hendry. So, a lot to look forward to there on Saturday. That's going to be good. I will give you a bit of feedback on that next week. And also, as I say, do check out my interview with Mike Moose from W3L. But that's it for me this week. Let's move swiftly on to our goodbyes and tell people where they can find you. I'm going to start with Adam.
Yeah, you can find me on the old Twitter sphere at Adam_Pearson, at Adam_Pearson_TV on what's that photo thing called? Instagram. That's the word I was looking for. I'm on Instagram now, which is great. And yeah, Adam Pearson videos on YouTube, and I have an address and stuff as well that I'm not going to give out on the podcast. But yeah, and exciting stuff happening soon.
Well, we'll look forward to when you can officially talk about that on air. That'd be good. Good to have you on as always, Adam. PK.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at PK_1UP. Also on Instagram, PK_BWC. That will probably change this week to 1UP as well, to be honest. I keep forgetting to do it. And you'll find me on the 1UP Power Up podcast. We're recording tomorrow, so by the time you hear this, if you can get your requests in to myself on Twitter for games from 1995 that you would like to see remade.
Actually, important question. Where can we find the One Up Power Up podcast?
You can find it on one-up.club.
And that's on iTunes, etc., yeah?
Yes.
Cool. There we go. Just making sure that folk can find it. That's all. Okay, thank you for that. Great having you on, as always. Just that absolute wealth of indie knowledge is always appreciated. Kiwi Tuts.
You can find me at Tut Pit, or you can find me on Siren Online 107.3 in the Lincolnshire area. Lincoln's first community radio station. Sorry. I had to fill in the bridge of our northeastern competitor.
Got to get used to him being missing in action for the next well.
Yeah, it's weird. But anyway, yes, follow me on Twitter at KiwiTuts. Mm-hmm. And you can check out the Tuts Experience podcast or my weekly Eurovision Song Contest retrospect from the past and the present. The Eurovision Showcase. You can listen to it live every Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. British time on 92.3 Forest FM, right across East Dorset, West Hampshire, and the New Forest on the south coast of this beautiful United Kingdom. Or also, if you do miss it, you can check it out on the Tuts Network on the podcast, and also via this network here to the Trending Topics Network. I thank you.
See that masterful the way he gets all those plugs in. You can find myself on Twitter at LivingLegend148. As always, I'll be here next week. And not as always, actually. Quite recently, it's not been the case. But anyway, do email us, eurouppercut@gmail.com, or drop us a tweet at the EU pod. We'd like to hear from you. Also, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/European Uppercut Podcast. Do check out the website as well, trendingtopicsnetwork.com. All the information, all the shows are up there, such as Anything Goes, The One Up, Club Heads Up, Eurovision Showcase, CFL Easy Picks, Old School at the Movies, Squabble Box, Wrestlecast, All Being Inside, Tuts Experience, Spanish Announce Table, Lucha, and more and more. Make sure you also check out the allwrestling.com week in review with Dan the Cannon. Of course, I am still holding that WIRX Championship, but SummerSlam is going to be coming up soon, so you never know what could happen. Do check that out. But that's all for this week. Next week, we'll be here with our SummerSlam picks and obviously some TakeOver picks as well. We're going to have quite an in-depth show by the looks of it next week. Something to look forward to. The Living Legend has now left the building.
European uppercuts!
Okay, let's stop this recording.